If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour one on this Thursday. Come on in, stay a while. Everybody's here, including Fritzy. And you can go get your tailgate moonshine, the newest edition, the latest batch. It's peppermint bark moonshine, available at danpatrick.com. Tastes great for the holidays. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Homework assignment for the Danettes, and not everybody wants the assignment because 4 quarters tonight, somebody's got to watch the Patriots and the Steelers. So I'm saying, who wants the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter? Yes, Seton.
You know, it's the holiday season. I'll take it. I'll take all four.
All four?
It's my gift to you guys. You guys have the night off. You spend doing whatever you want to do. I'll take this one for the team.
Okay, you can watch the in-season tournament in the NBA. The Lakers and Pelicans, and also the Bucks and the Pacers go along with the big game tonight. You know, they were trying to promote...
Tyquan Thornton drop 15.
They were trying to promote the game, and I was wondering, who were they going to use from the Patriots? Were they going to use Bailey Zappi? Were they going to use Bill Belichick? And then I guess they were trying to use David Andrews. He's the center for the Patriots.
Well, last week on the broadcast, they had it was Bill Belichick and TJ Watt.
Yeah. So they were trying to promote this. And like, who do we put up there? And the fact that they were, hey, tune in to watch a center. Like, boy, doesn't that say everything you need to know about the Patriots? There's nothing to see here. Other than it's the farewell tour, it feels like a Bill Belichick. Tonight, it's the Steelers. It's the Patriots. Somebody has to win. Over under is 30 points. By the way, speaking of gambling, the gambling podcast later today with Dylan, Shea, and Irving, and Bad Larry. That'll be available at danpatrick.com. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you. If you've downloaded the app, please do so. If you haven't, you can watch the program all 3 hours in its glory, behind the scenes as well. And our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. So tonight, the Steelers giving 6 to the Patriots. Also, the in-season tournament, Pacers, Bucks, Pelicans, and the Lakers. Yankees acquire Juan Soto from the Padres. That was, everybody's focused on Shohei Ohtani. There are a couple of other players who are going to play maybe a big role, maybe even bigger role in a team in the playoffs or getting to a World Series. Juan Soto going to the Yankees. So in the span of 17 months, he's been traded twice. He's 25 years of age. And now you put him in the outfield. Some big numbers there, but the Yankees picked up Juan Soto from the Padres. All right. 877-3DP Show. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Zach Wilson responds to, do you want to play or not? We'll have that for you coming up as well. Seton, what's the poll question we're going to start with?
Well, the T-O-double-D has sent over many for a Thursday. He's fired up and ready to go today.
All right. By the way, Peter King will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. There's a report that the Carolina Panthers are trying to rival the New York Jets for dysfunctional franchise of the year because, as Diana Rossini described it, somebody described it to her as the Hunger Games inside the Carolina Panthers locker room. That's not a good thing, by the way. All right, so what did Todd offer there, Seton?
Todd has offered up many great thoughts. Mm. He has, my level, my interest level in the in-season tournament has increased, decreased, remained the same, not interested.
Okay. I'm interested, but I'm interested more so for the Pacers and the Pelicans. What does it mean to you? Because with the Lakers and LeBron can say, hey, I want to win this because Michael Jordan never won one of these. They didn't have one of these for Michael Jordan, or he would have won a few, I'm going to guess. But I like the new stories with the Pacers and the Pelicans. The Pacers, this means the world, it feels like, to them. And you throw in Milwaukee just because of Giannis. I did spend a little bit of time, too much time last night. I watched Victor Wembanyama against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, you know, when the giraffe is born and tries to stand up and is not quite sure of itself, Victor still looks like that. He's just not quite sure where he's supposed to be. And he was going against Rudy Gobert last night, so he had his hands full with the former Defensive Player of the Year. But I'm watching, and Carl Anthony Towns, also Anthony Edwards. Minnesota's a good team. They are. They're a good team. They're leading the West. I don't know, you know, if it's sustainable, what they're going to be like in the postseason, but Anthony Edwards can play. He's not afraid of anybody. Carl Anthony Towns, according to Carl Anthony Towns, has changed the game. But they do have a pretty good team. But I'm watching the Spurs, and the Spurs aren't good. They're 3-17. They may be back in the position to draft number one next year. But I'm watching Victor Wembanyama, and you can tell that he's just never in the right place at the right time. So, you know, when I'm watch an entire game. Because if you watch and you see the highlights, you go, all right. Paulie watched the highlights.
I was like, he looked good.
Yeah, and I go, no, he didn't. No. He's trying to figure out. Court awareness is going to be the big issue for him this year. Finding the right place to be at the right time. And Chet Holmgren seems to be a little further developed. You know, he's averaging like 17 points. I mean, he's played pretty well for Oklahoma City. But Wembanyama is going to be a force. There's no doubt about that. But just watching him sort of, and I just focused on him. And there were times when he just would get the ball and he couldn't do anything with it because he was in the wrong spot there. And Minnesota did a pretty good job. So back to our regularly scheduled programming. So the in-season tournament, yeah, I'm interested. I am.
Yours seems like it's grown more as the tournament has progressed.
Yeah. But you want to see if the players care, then I care. Because sometimes you watch a game and you go, I don't think they really care. I don't think anybody wants to play. That guy's going to sit down. But when it means something, then I think it translates to us when we're watching. You see something more there. Yes, Marvin.
And I'm just looking now. Bucks Pacers 5 o'clock start tonight, so I'm in.
All right,
you don't have to wait until 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I like that little Greek freak for dinner.
All right,
I like that.
Him versus Tyrese Halliburton.
Tyrese, I'll take the Halliburton. How would you like that? I'll take that medium rare. Absolutely. Yes, Paul.
I have a question about the floors because I've been watching the tournament. The floors are very fun, a lot of colors. That's not paint. That's some type of elaborate sticker. Is it one sticker? Is it a series of stickers? It's not paint, right?
I don't think so.
Can't repaint the floor like
that. I think they had a problem with the Mavericks floor.
Like it was loose?
It was slick.
Oh, but yeah. It's like one big sticker.
Yeah, I think so. But do they keep them the rest of the year? Because I don't know if they do. I think it was just for the in-season tournament. I hope they keep. I mean, they're fun. But, you know, I can't tell. Sometimes you'll look at the floor and you go, I don't know which team is playing. By the way, Luka had a triple-double in the first half last night. Watch a little bit of that. Yes, Eden.
I wonder if the floor's not more like tiles, and they can sort of like replace the tiles of the floor.
Hmm.
You know, like big ones, not like little ones that you have in your bathroom, but like big, like sections that they put on and take off.
I think they're just stickers. Todd, would you get a hold of the NBA?
Yeah, I'll find out.
Just ask him what the floors.
Send it right to Commissioner Silver.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, ask Adam. Ask Adam, hey, what are the floors made of there?
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah. What else do we have? So that's poll question in-season tournament.
Yeah, sure. Here's one I'll throw out there.
All right.
Changing gears a little bit, Dan. When Aaron Rodgers speaks, he makes things, .. better or worse?
Wow. Here's Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, being asked about Aaron Rodgers calling the Jets organization chicken bleep.
Aaron was pretty outspoken yesterday during his TV deal about the culture, and you know, I'm sure you're well aware of it. What is your reaction to that when a player essentially attacks the organization that way?
I don't think it's an attack on the organization, but I always appreciate Aaron's thoughts and comments.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
It is an attack on the organization. Those who leak this, he's saying, this is not what you do in a winning organization. This is chicken bleep. It is an attack on the organization. By the way, Zach Wilson is ready to play. He was asked about, does he want to play this weekend against the Texans?
Zach, there was a report, I'm sure you're aware of, on Monday that said you had expressed some reluctance about becoming the starter again. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I love the guys in this locker room, and I would do anything. And I think anytime you have an opportunity to step on this field, you need to take advantage of it.
Did you feel the need to address the team at all about that? Because that report kind of was widespread on Monday.
No, I don't think so. And I think more than anything, I've had support from those guys through this entire process. I think guys understand where we're at right now, and I've had backing, since day one, and that's why I love this team so much. And, they understand the struggles we've been going through, and I think there can be a lot of respect shown to just keep fighting from everybody, and we're all going through the same things.
Okie dokie. Nothing to see here, I guess.
He didn't feel the need to address this with the team?
No.
He didn't feel like, hey, fellas, did you guys see that story about...
But even if it's not true, you have to address it.
Oh. If he never said anything like this, he's saying this never happened. That's what Zach Wilson is saying. He's saying, I never gave anyone indication that they want
to play. But he has to address his teammates to tell them,
okay,
look, this never happened. You have to say something. You can't just go in there and go, hey, man, that's a wild accusation there. Hey, I didn't want to play. Come on. Of course I want to play. So who's wrong here? The reporters? The leakers? Zach?
Hey, Zach, I heard you didn't want to play anymore.
No, that's not the case.
No, just for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody, there's three different sources. And then you had Diana Russini double down yesterday to say it was, and I'm paraphrasing, common knowledge that he did not want to play, that he was reluctant to play, that players, coaches, management, everybody knew about this. I do think the Jets have done him dirty. He wasn't going to play this year. It was going to be a redshirt year. He was going to watch Aaron Rodgers, and then that changed four plays in. Then you throw him in, then you bring him out. Then you throw him in, then you bring him out. Then you throw him in. Now you're going to make him third string. Just play the kid. Play him. It's a lost season. Maybe you find out a little bit more about Zach Wilson from now on out, next five games. Maybe. I want to see if he really wants to play football. If he knows what it takes to play football, that position. But don't be taking him in, putting him in and out. Tim Boyle should not play. He shouldn't. Trevor Siemian, in an emergency, put him in, let him play, don't take him out. Sink or swim, go. Throw the ball 40 times. Act like you were at BYU. Just go. Let's see what you got. Run the two-minute offense the entire game. Like, what are we doing here? You're not going to keep him next year. Let him at least go out and try to salvage a career. Because this was career suicide. Now put him out there. And maybe it was career suicide by the way he played. But at least he was trying to play. Didn't play well. Didn't take blame earlier in the season, which wasn't a good look with that locker room. He's learning. He's an immature kid. He's talented, but he's immature. Probably been the best player on the field most of his life. Now you get to the pros, You're not. But let him play. Did somebody leak this for whatever reason, maybe to make themselves look better? That's a shame. I mean, he's done that. He's already had a career smear by the way he's played. You don't need to sabotage him. He's done it himself. But let him play. At least be professional inside that organization. And who's ever leaking it? If Aaron Rodgers really gives a bleep, then go get him. Find out. Do something about it. Because, like I said yesterday, when I worked at the mothership, there was a directive from one of my bosses. If we find out who's leaking stuff to the media, you'll be fired. You know what happened? Nobody got fired. And then I found out somebody in management was the one leaking information to some reporters.
That's the every accusation is a confession statement there.
Mm, okay. So I hope Zach Wilson gets to play the rest of the year without, you know, unless he gets injured, put him out there. But as it is now, I think the Jets, there's culpability here. Zach Wilson's not a good quarterback, but the Jets aren't a good organization either. And they've proven that. All right.
Like, it's like so clear.
Yes. Yes, it is. Very clear.
What would be the wildest
clear
result?
Clear present danger.
Don't you want to see, just for the curveball of it,
Zach, I would love for him to throw three touchdown passes and outperform C.J. Stroud.
I was about to say that.
That would be great.
Just for the twist of the story.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Be great. Any other poll questions we're considering, Seton?
A gajillion.
Oh.
Just under a gajillion.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence did address the problem I had with his injury. They didn't bring the card out. He does talk about it because I have a problem with that. Also, somebody in the Jacksonville Jaguars organization stole $22 million.
It's not Urban Meyer.
No. How much did he steal?
Checking.
Yeah, that might be a little light.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Oh, Fritzy, did you get, let me see. So is it paint?
Paint. We got a one-word response from NBA paint. PR. We were going to do a guessing game. Paulie just gave me a dirty look.
We were going to tease that. We were going to tease that with the court.
I screwed that up.
And I probably did, too. I like that. Here's somebody at the NBA home office, and then we're sending, hey, what are these courts, these in-season courts, what are they made of? Paint. That's it. That's just one word, paint. At least they could have had paint in red or blue or yellow or green. They just have it's in black ink.
That's the, I don't have time for this crap response.
Yes, yes, yes.
The sigh is implied.
Yeah.
But that's better than paint, comma, Todd. Then that would have been really bad if they gave me that.
Oh, so if you had sound effects with that from the NBA home office, it would be paint. That's probably what they meant to say. Yes, Marvin.
You could hear the frustration in that email when it's just paint, period. That's almost like when somebody says, per my last email.
They should be happy that we're talking. Come on, we're covering the coverage of the court.
Nobody else is talking about the
court. No, they're not.
There's a reason.
No. Peter King will join us coming up. I'm going to bring up something that Peter wrote 30 years ago today. He has no idea that I'm going to bring this up. But very interesting what he wrote 30 years ago today in a magazine that used to be known as Sports Illustrated. We'll take a break. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. A little shot there. Sports Illustrated.
Fair point.
A little AI there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, the only place to collect them all, Panini trading cards, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show, instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Peter King, Football Morning in America columnist and contributor to Football Night in America, on assignment in Pittsburgh for the Steelers and the Patriots. Wow. That's combat pay.
How the mighty have fallen, says Dan Patrick.
There's still time to get out of town, Peter.
What do you mean, the game? Oh, yeah, you're right. I still got 10 hours, don't I?
I was looking at the promo for the game, and it was Belichick and TJ Watt, and then I think they were trying to use David Andrews, which might be the first center ever used in a promo. Unless Jim Otto was featured, you know, back in the 70s here. Give us a reason to watch the game tonight, in your opinion.
I mean, I think there's a couple of them. One, I don't know if you look at the Patriots' schedule until they play the Jets in the last game. I mean, could this be the best chance they would have to win a game? And then I'll tell you what, Dan, there's a lot of heat on Mike Tomlin. There has been for a while in Pittsburgh, but I was on a talk show here yesterday, and I'll tell you, the general populace is really falling out of love with Mike Tomlin, which I think is insane. And one of the points I make about Tomlin all the time is, look, I realize he hasn't won a playoff game in forever, and it's justified if you, if you're anti-Tomlin because of that, and I get it, but you know, I mean, he loses franchise quarterback. They're trying to build somebody up, you know, to be that guy. Since Tom Brady walked off campus in New England, Bill Belichick is 8 games below .500. Since Ben Roethlisberger walked off campus here, the Steelers are 3 games over .500. So what is wrong with this picture? I realize it's less time, but, you know, Mike Tomlin wins games. That's the thing that always boggles my mind when people criticize Tomlin as vociferously as they do.
30 years ago, I think today, you wrote an article for Sports Illustrated. You remember what it was?
How to revive a boring league.
Yes. How to revive the NFL. Give us some of those tidbits, those nuggets that you were suggesting 30 years ago to revive the NFL.
Well, at the time, you know, points were way down. Injuries were way up. It was a brutal, brutal league in terms of, you know, the physicality of the league. And I think one of the things that we thought at Sports Illustrated at the time was really important was you got to focus on the quarterbacks. You've got to make it easier to score points in this league. And look, that's, I'm not saying that that's revolutionary. Everybody knows that now. They knew that then. And I think the NFL set out, honestly, 25 to 30 years ago, and you look at probably 80% of the rules changes in that period of time have all been to liberalize rules to make people score points more. So I think that's one thing the league did that we suggested, but I think they were going to probably do it anyway because the writing was on the wall. At the time, the one thing I remember vividly about that, that was at a time of like revolutionary time in NFL history because free agency had just began. You know, the Reggie White decision came down, which basically mandated that there's going to be real free agency in the NFL. Reggie White was the NFL's Curt Flood. And so, you know, you look at it, and that was probably in 1993, that era, the most revolutionary thing that happened in football.
Peter King from Football Morning in America on assignment in Pittsburgh for the Patriots and the Steelers. More dysfunctional organization, the Jets or the Panthers right now?
Oh, definitely the Panthers. I mean, the Jets have had a bunch of weird little step in crap moments recently, but, you know, I can tell you that the players are still listening to Robert Saleh. I'm not positive, but what I hear is that Woody Johnson still very much believes in Saleh. He's going to be back. Joe Douglas, I'm not positive about, but my gut feeling, it's just a gut feeling, is that those guys will come back together for another year. Now, in Carolina, it's as big a mess as there is in the NFL. The story that The Athletic wrote yesterday about, you know, the dysfunction and sort of the Hunger Games mentality where coaches and staffers are texting the owner of the team, telling him what's wrong with the team. It's, you know, David Tepper has turned into, you know, he's the new Dan Snyder, minus all the, you know, sexual improprieties and allegations. But David Tepper, I wrote this week, Dan is Steinbrenner without the winning. He's a disaster. And if you're going to hire a head coach and 10 months later you're going to fire him, you shouldn't have hired him in the first place. You didn't really believe in him. And to take all the suggestions and all the emails, all the texts from people inside the organization, I'm assuming at least some of them, if not most of them, were Reich's doing a crappy job. You know, this is what we ought to be doing. It's just, you know, it's so ridiculous. Can you imagine, you know, a good franchise with people undercutting the head coach, going behind his back, many of them to the owner? It's insane. It's insane. And David Tepper, if that story is true, and look, Joe Person, Diana Rossini, very reputable reporters, I have no reason to think it isn't absolutely true. And that really would bother me if I were a fan of the Panthers right now.
Let me go back to the Jets because Diana Rossini was reporting on one of the reporters who was reporting on Zach Wilson reluctant to play, and it was common knowledge in the building there. The Jets have denied that. Aaron Rodgers didn't deny it. He just kind of blasted the organization for leaking. Where do you stand on that story with Zach Wilson wanting to play, not wanting to play, and the organization's role in this?
Well, I don't know how the information got out, but I think Aaron Rodgers is absolutely right. It's absurd that if indeed that's the way Zach Wilson felt at for a time on Monday, and I have no reason to doubt that. If that's what he felt, or at least he was asking questions about it, it's not good that that got out. It just isn't good. And I think, you know, look, I don't think anybody believes that Zach Wilson's the answer. And he clearly isn't the answer. They don't have an answer right now. But one of the things I think, Dan, that hasn't been talked about enough is the fact that, you know, Nathaniel Hackett last year had a quarterback in Denver, and they had either the worst or one of the two or three worst offenses in football. This year, he doesn't have a quarterback with the Jets, and he has no solutions at all. Dan, if I told you that the New York Jets, their last 88 offensive possessions, had scored four touchdowns, what would you think of that? That's like the JV team at a bad high school playing the state champions. That's the kind of production you get in that situation. So to me, Robert Saleh has a lot of issues right now, a lot of issues. And one of his big issues is Hackett, because of his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, is basically untouchable.
Yeah.
So what does he do? What does he do with the offense that underachieves? And how would you have any faith other than with Aaron Rodgers running it on autopilot on the field next year? I don't know. To me, Saleh's got some real, real problems in New York.
The commissioner reportedly wants to eliminate the brotherly shove. How does that happen?
The single most important person in any rules change situation in the NFL who can put his thumb on any scale and make things happen is Roger Goodell. That's how much power he has. He doesn't use the power when he knows that the power isn't going to be enough. Like last year at this time, Dan, when this was really first starting to come to significant prominence, you know, mid-season last year when Jeff Stoutland, the line coach of the Eagles, had, and led by Jason Kelsey on the line, had perfected this, and we all started seeing it. Personally, I think it's awful. It isn't really, unless you wanted to play football in 1908, it's not what football should be, in my opinion. Now, it's part of the rules. Congratulations to the Eagles for perfecting it. I do the same thing too. I'd probably do it more. But the fact is, Roger Goodell, my guess would be, and I don't know if that is absolutely the case, but I do know that there are some influential people in league circles who have a lot to do with the rules who think it's awful. And I'm just saying that this is going to get a full airing in the off season. But again, in the absence of significant injury records, you know, with this, such and such a guy got hurt here, this many guys get hurt in the brotherly shove versus other plays, I don't know that they're going to have 24 owners who will vote to kill it.
I know you wrote about the NFL MVP voting, that the last 10 years, your winner has been either a number one or a number two seed. Do you see that changing?
The only way I see it changing, Dan, because I think there's 5 weeks left in the season. I'm not saying, because I don't go back every year and say, gee, how close was it with 5 years, 5 weeks left to go in any particular year. But I don't recall a year that you could tell me any one of eight names and I would say, oh, that guy makes a good case. Dan, there's a couple of things this year. One, I think that there is some sort of, I don't even want to say prejudice, but some sort of downplaying of what Brock Purdy is doing. And it has to do, I think, with draftism, you know, and the fact that, you know, if a guy is the last pick in the draft in his second year in the league, well, there's no way he could be MVP. Look at all the talent he's playing with. All he is, you know, he's a marionette and Kyle Shanahan is pulling the strings. He's not that good. well, all I can say is just watch the games. But, I mean, there are a lot of guys. Dak Prescott has got a great case right now, but we're going to know. He's got three huge games coming up. You know, he's got to play at Buffalo, at Miami, and obviously the Eagles. So we're going to know. But I'm just saying, Dan, if Tyreek Hill smashes the all-time receiving record and goes over 2,000 yards, there's going to be a lot of sentiment for breaking this schneid of 10 consecutive MVPs who were quarterbacks and finally giving it to somebody at another position. I would just say, and I don't know how I would vote if that happened, but I would just say that if you asked Mike McDaniel today, gave him sodium pentothal, and he said, tell me, if the karma gods take one guy out of your lineup, either Tyreek Hill or Tua Tagovailoa, who would you rather it be? Well, Mike McDaniel is not going to say he wants to play without his quarterback. So the word is not the award is not most outstanding player. It's the most valuable player, fortunately or unfortunately.
Have fun in Pittsburgh. Stay awake during the game. Get a sandwich there. And great to talk to you again, Pete.
Hey, thanks a million, Dan. Great to be on with you.
That's Peter King, Football Morning in America, from his car in Pittsburgh. I don't know. I think I would just maybe start the car and keep driving. Keep driving. Yeah, Paul.
Steelers home game, though. I've never been to a Steelers home game. That seems like a lot of fun. I'm kind of bummed that I've never been to a Steelers home game. The whole town seems... I've been to the town. I've never been to a home Steeler game.
All right. I'm going to guess you haven't been to a home Steeler game.
But like that seems like got to be top three in the league for atmosphere.
Yeah. No, maybe Chiefs not now.
Yeah.
Maybe not now.
No, they still seem fired up.
Maybe not now. Yeah, well, as Peter was saying, they're fired up. And Mike Tomlin now in the crosshairs there. Maybe they're too low. Yeah, Seton.
Earlier, I mean, I know it's different sports, but earlier this year, Nick Saban was like, hot seat, question mark? Like anybody. Anybody.
Well, all it takes is somebody to just ask the question and then put a question mark after it. That's all. Because then it's like, I don't know, hot seat there. Paul Feinbaum might have had Saban on the hot seat, at least early in the season for some reason. All right, let me take a break. Play of the day is up next. Your phone calls as well.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Left, I got it!
Check this out.
Here's Marshall with Clark trailing. History in flight. You bet! Caitlin Clark! 3,000 career points! Another forever moment for this transformational superstar.
That's courtesy of ESPNU, Caitlin Clark. 3,000 career points. Also, the first player in Division I basketball, man or woman, to have at least 3,000 points. 750 rebounds, 750 assists in a career. Play of the day brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security, offering up to 50% on any new system. You can do that if you use the Fast Protect plan as well. Visit simplysafedan.com. Seton, would you update the poll results for us? Well, by the way, I did talk about the Timberwolves. I have a great stat of the day coming up about the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, so Seton, give me an update.
Well, we have a new one that we're kicking around a little bit. Okay. Paul sent over. Who is telling the truth? I want to add to this, by the way. Paul has the Athletic reporters.
Okay.
Or Zach Wilson.
All right.
I would add in sources.
Okay.
Because I don't think the Athletic reporters are lying or making things up, but they clearly have at least a source.
Mm-hmm.
The two reporters do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who would I think is lying?
Well, or more, who is telling the truth?
I'm gonna side with the reporters that they're telling the truth of what they were told. But that's
like saying the sources.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that they were telling the truth.
Right. The source might not be telling the
truth. Yes. Because they could be like a smear campaign with Zach Wilson, and then they could be telling you something. When in reality, maybe Zach Wilson didn't say that. Maybe it was an offhanded comment. Do I think that there was a reluctance to play? It certainly sounds like that. And the fact that Diana Rossini, one of the original reporters, doubled down and said, basically, yes, this was common knowledge inside the building. I'm going to side with their reporting on this of what somebody told them. And Zach Wilson, of course, has to say, I never said that. Robert Saleh has to say he never said that. Aaron Rodgers just said, hey, this is chicken bleep that somebody leaked this. This is what you're not a winning organization if you do that. Not that Zach Wilson didn't say this, but he just said this is about the organization. All right, the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Spurs last night. They've been in first place in the Western Conference for 17 days this season. In the previous 34 years in franchise history, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been in first place, sole possession, in the Western Conference for a total of 10 days.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
They're not as cool as they were when Kevin Garnett was there, but they could be better. And I did mention Karl Anthony Towns through 20 games. He's in that 90-50-40 club. 90 from the line, 51 from the floor, and almost 43% from three-point range. He's changing the game.
Relax.
Thank you, Marvin. Yes, Paulie.
That 03-04 Timberwolves team, that was probably their best team. They got to the West, the conference finals. They had Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Wally Zerbiak, the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, Michael Olowokandi, Troy Hudson, Mark Madsen, Gary Trent.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. What did Stephen A. Smith say about Michael Olowokandi? Can't play? He had like two things that he said. Like, can't play?
Can't play down low, can't play on the post, can't do anything for me.
Who was the other one?
Rasto Nesterovich.
He can't
shoot. I can shoot better than him.
Can't play?
I guard Shaquille O'Neal?
He can't play.
Or Slavid Medvedenko.
Slavid Medvedenko.
He had like a first team all insult.
Yeah, but you had to have a long name.
More syllables, the better.
Yes. Michael Olowokandi. Can't play.
The only guy he did mess with was Kwame Brown.
Oh.
Kwame Brown came back.
Yeah, Kwame.
20 years later.
Yeah, Kwame. Kwame's still picking up receipts there on people who called him out there. Still, the fact that Phil Jackson, didn't he say, here, kitty, 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 to Kwame Brown, calling him out for being soft?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's tough. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I thought Ime calling LeBron the B word was bad.
Well, yeah. You know, Ime Udoka should shut up. All right? You're in the league. We still don't know what happened elsewhere. You know what? You've been fired from two jobs here. You know, you're on the sidelines, but then, you know, you're instigating LeBron James. Like, come on. You're better than that. I hope you are. What's LeBron going to do? He can't do anything to you. What are you going to do to LeBron? Nothing. But, I mean, how about a little decorum? Or put a jersey on. Yes, Marv.
No, don't put a jersey on, because there's Twitter video of LeBron absolutely cooking Ime Udoka 20 years ago. They're like, no, don't do that. The fact that LeBron's like against guys that were playing against him now, they're coaches now. It's like, man, how long have you been in the league?
Yeah. Jeff in Tennessee. Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Morning, Dan. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Yeah, we did it. We right. Get ready to introduce him as the next Yankee starter.
As, of all the names like that, really unique names, Michael Olowokandi, like you guys were just talking about, Ichiro Suzuki, what's been your favorite name to pronounce in your career?
Chris Muafatu Malafala. And Dick Trickle. No, I think so. Do you have anything else for me, John? Oh, we just lost you. All right. Yes. Chris, wasn't he from West Virginia? Wasn't it running back with the Steelers? Fulmatu Malav.
College?
Yeah, I think West Virginia. Does that sound right?
Checking.
Yeah. Chris.
Can you spell it, though?
No, I cannot. No, I cannot. Yeah, there were a couple, like Petri Skriko. There's some hockey names.
You guys love the hockey.
Yes. Yes, Marv.
Tim Biakabatuka?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah. Who was my favorite goalie, aside from Ron Tugnutt?
Oh, Patrick Waugh?
No.
Chris Fuamatu Maafala went to Utah.
Of course he did.
Yeah, right.
He's from Hawaii.
He might have passed through West Virginia.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Driving, yes.
Yeah. Fuamatu Maafala. All right. Get more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Incredible Jaguars story. Guy stole $22 million. And he was living like he stole $22 million. Have that story for you coming up. More of your phone calls as well. Check in the winter baseball meetings with the latest on Shohei Ohtani.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.